Hello, and welcome to the Special Ed Strategist podcast, brought to you by Learning Essentials. Learning Essentials offers special education-based support, educational therapy, academic therapy, and IEP coaching by state-certified educators with advanced degrees in all areas of special education. The Special Ed Strategist podcast brings professionals together to educate and empower families navigating special education needs and the IEP process.
Welcome to the Special Ed Strategist podcast. I am your host, Wendy Taylor. You don't want to miss our conversation today. We are talking with Stacey Montgomery. She is the author and social emotional learner innovator, and we are talking today why different is awesome. If you have not had a chance to like and subscribe, go ahead and find us where you find your podcast, Special Education Strategist, and also give us a like and some love on social at Learning Essentials. Today, we're talking with Stacey Montgomery. She is the author of 7 confidence-building guided journals for kids, including her latest title, What Makes You a Leader? She's the founder and director of the My Superpowers Foundation. Her passion for empowering children started as a young adult when she noticed the lack of positive, diverse images in the marketplace. This led her to create a line of stationery and gifts that featured original illustrations of diverse children. Years later, as a mom, she grew frustrated with her son's experience at school. He had difficulty fitting in, and the school strategies resulted in him feeling unempowered and even more like an outsider. These combined experiences led her to develop an elementary school social emotional learning program called Why is Different Awesome? The program emphasizes self-reflection as a strategy to increase both self-awareness and social awareness. In addition to teaching learners to embrace their unique qualities, the program helps them accept and celebrate differences and others. I'm excited for this conversation. Welcome, Stacey. Stacey, welcome to the Special Education Podcast. I'm really excited to have a conversation of why different is awesome and being part of the special education world and loving all things special ed. I can't wait to have a conversation with you about social emotional learning and why it's so important for our kiddos. I can't thank you enough for joining me.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Let's dive in. Why different is awesome? Why the title? What is going to frame our show for us today?
Sure. So why is different awesome? The reason for that title is that I really want kids to understand that we are all unique. And that's a good thing. You know, who wants sameness? And the reality is that we are not the same. Some of us may be very similar. And on the human level, yes, we are all the same. But we all have different qualities, and that's a beautiful thing. When kids feel that they're different and that is a bad thing, that will impact their emotional wellness. So it's important to understand that we are all different. We should embrace that, and it's a good thing.
It's an amazing thing. Starting young so that our young children can learn that different is awesome, whatever degree that may be for them, so that they can grow up and be amazing in the world is incredible.
Yes. Yes. I absolutely agree.
Yeah. So tell me about what is social emotional learning and what are some benefits of learning as a kiddo and as an adult anytime about social emotional learning?
So social emotional learning is the skills and the mindset that help people be aware of themselves, of the world around me, of the world around them. It helps them achieve goals and understand how to build strong relationships. And studies have shown that kids who learn social emotional learning skills, they do better both academically and socially, and they tend to carry those skills into adulthood. So it's very important that we instill these skills in kids starting at a very, very young age, pre-K.
I know some schools are offering social emotional programs and having a focus on that, but how can parents help their children develop social emotional skills?
That's a great question. Yes, many schools do offer it, but it really varies from state to state how much is offered. But at home, what I always say is that our parents, whoever the caregivers are of kids, are kids' first and best teachers. So when parents are mindful of social emotional learning and model it for their kids, I think that is the best way. So for example, modeling for your kids' positivity and belief in self. You know, a lot of adults struggle with that, you know, criticizing themselves out loud. And that, you know, I need to lose weight, I'm fat and things like that. You know, my hair is this, my hair is that. You know, that kids see that and they hear that and they start to adopt those similar behaviors. So, you know, showing kids that perhaps there is something you need to work on and talking about it from that perspective versus expressing, you know, unkind words to yourself. You know, that is one way. Doing kind acts, volunteering and bringing your kids along with you when you're volunteering, talking about, you know, things that your community needs and how you can contribute to the community. So just how you behave and model these behaviors, these positive pro-social behaviors on an everyday basis is how parents can teach kids social emotional learning skills at home.
So teaching them that social awareness and those relationship skills.
Yes, exactly.
And modeling it that. So can you give us an example of what that may look like at home a little bit deeper?
Well, when focusing on the concept of different is awesome. And this is an example I give often. Let's say you're walking down the street, you know, in your neighborhood, in your downtown, and there is a person who uses a wheelchair and your child just kind of stares, you know, or the person is different in some other, you know, way. And your child stares, as opposed to saying, stop staring, don't stare. You know, that is a perfect time to initiate a conversation, you know, or perhaps suggest to your child, why don't you wave, say hi, or explain why that person may be in, you know, use a wheelchair. You know, again, it's not, you know, you don't want your child to not notice that this person is different, you know, explain why. That's a perfect teachable moment.
But it also normalizes.
Yes.
The world around us, right?
Yes.
And so in all these moments that we see somebody that is different and you recognize that your child is noticing the difference, that's a great time to normalize it and have a conversation and make the child aware of, you know, that different is awesome. And that's what makes our world so beautiful.
Exactly. And also, you know, admitting to your child that you don't know everything. So if there is something the child notices, and they ask about it, and perhaps you don't know. So that's a perfect time for you guys to learn together. You know, purchase a book. There are many books. There are books out there on practically every topic. Purchase a book and read together. You know, Google together. Learn together. And it's okay to ask questions. And, you know, another thing that I talk about in my book, Why Is Different Awesome, and the program that goes along with it, is that focus on the facts. Don't make assumptions. You know, just focus on the facts, and that may take some research, some learning, some asking questions, and that's okay.
But that's a good life skill.
Yes, exactly.
It's a good life skill, right?
It's a good life skill. Yes, right. Be curious. Be curious. And just
be curious.
Not assume.
That's right. That's right. Well, we kind of mentioned in the beginning about schools offering social emotional learning in their curriculum. You offer this as well, but you did note that states, depending on the state, that curriculum could look different. So if there's educators or for the educators that are listening, what advice would you give educators who want to start to incorporate some type of social emotional learning into their curriculum?
Sure. So the way it works with public schools and private schools is that the state has the Department of Education on a state level determines what must be taught. For, you know, for some states, for example, Illinois is very aggressive and forward about social emotional learning. It has standards that every school must follow. So in Illinois, for example, every school has some sort of social emotional learning curriculum. And, you know, other states it's different. They may not have these, you know, these strong requirements. But regardless of whether or not you do, you know, in addition to following the state standards and what your district may recommend or require, what I recommend is to really look beyond the general overall program for social emotional learning. You know, that's fine. You know, those programs cover a lot and hit all of the high points and all the points that need to be covered. But also look for additional supplemental material that can address some, you know, issues that are perhaps specific to your school's community or topics that you feel need to be a little bit more, there needs to be a little bit more learning on. And so, for example, my program, Why It's Different Awesome, really focuses a lot on building community, respecting differences, appreciating differences, and building community. It's all about building an inclusive community so that kids feel welcome when they come in the building. And that is a problem which a number of principals have expressed to me. So it's not just, you know, a problem with one or two schools. I suspect this is a problem across the country. So look for programs that address different things and supplement your overall SEL program with those materials. Find minutes, you know, or put aside minutes to work on those specific things.
So what are some suggestions that you may have for educators that can help implement that inclusivity into their classroom, right? So if there are some strategies for teaching SEL, but then taking it a little deeper, as you had mentioned, to create an inclusive environment within their classroom community, right, and then hopefully beyond within the school community and then the community in which they live.
I'm so glad you asked that question because it really hits to the heart of why I do what I do, why I developed this specific program. I actually have three SEL programs, but this one was the first one. And the reasoning behind it goes back to my son and his story. He is now 22, but when he was in school, he had IEPs. He has ADHD and is on the spectrum. And one thing that his school did to help him and other students with similar issues is that they took him aside, you know, took him out of class and they met separately and it worked on certain skills, social skills, which is fine. He needed that. They needed that. I had no problem with that. But when they took him out of class and worked on skills, the message that they gave him, and I know it was not intentional, but the message was that you need fixing. In order for kids to accept you, befriend you, and, you know, bring them into their social groups, is that you need to change yourself. You need to become more palatable to them. And that's the opposite of empowerment. It's the exact opposite. So the reason that I developed this program and the big principle behind it is that the lessons that you attempt to teach kids who have IEPs, have special needs, some of those messages need to be taught to all kids. So you need to teach every student in your class, in the school, you know, about differences. You know, you don't want to make the kids who have special needs, for example, that, you know, to say, you guys are different. So let's work on those differences so you'll be less different. Let's teach all the kids that we are all different. We are all unique. And that's good. And it's okay for you to have friends who are not exactly like you. So, you know, if you are on the spectrum and you know, neurodivergent and you're not, it's okay for you to be friends with each other. You know, it's okay for Black kids to be friends with white kids. It's okay for kids who have accents to be kids with friends with kids who don't. You know, so first of all, you know, that message needs to be taught. Another way is to provide opportunities for kids who do not necessarily normally hang out with each other to interact with each other. Another activity that I encourage in my program is to, as a class, research different, you know, conditions. You know, what is Down syndrome? Let's learn about that. For my book, I interviewed a girl, I believe at the time of my interview, she was maybe 10 or 11 years old. And she had an older sister who had Down syndrome, who has Down syndrome. And one of the things that she said during the interview is that on one occasion, they were all playing, you know, a bunch of kids were playing. And one little girl was afraid to sit in the seat that her sister had sit in because she was afraid that she would catch, you know, Down syndrome. And, you know, this is why we have to focus on the facts. So find opportunities to incorporate learning about different cultures, different conditions, and incorporate those throughout your day, whether it's in health, whether it's in SEL, whether it's in history, you know, language arts. Find opportunities to naturally talk about these topics, and that helps build an inclusive community. Because then, you know, number one, you understand a little bit better, but then you are less afraid. A lot of times, you know, when people don't want to hang around another person or has assumptions, it's out of fear and ignorance.
I like how all of this is being framed, and it really threads together about initially how we were talking about parents and now talking about educators, and that yes, there is a curriculum, but really it's a mindset.
It's a mindset.
A constant conversation, a constant modeling, constant opportunities. And so as an educator in a classroom, keeping that in the back of your mind and just having that ongoing dialogue as one would as an educator in a classroom, and even as a parent, just an ongoing conversation. So it's not, oh, it's 10:05, we're going to stop and do our lesson.
Right.
Yes, that may be true because you have your benchmarks and you have your standards and you need to get things done within your classroom, but continuing that conversation in the hallway, if you're out as an adult in recess or in the lunchroom supervising, just continually to naturally integrate these conversations and demonstrate and model for our students so that they can consistently see that being awesome or being different is awesome.
Yes. And a lot of in the educational world, the phrase, you know, embedding SEL into the day, you know, it's not only about whether it's 45 minutes that is devoted to focusing on a particular curriculum for SEL or 20 minutes, whatever the minutes may be. Yes, you do that, but you also find ways to embed it throughout the day.
Have you hit any walls or challenges when introducing this to school districts or educators or even parents?
So when trying to introduce my specific program to schools, the biggest roadblock problem that I run into is that specifically in Illinois, and that's where I've been focusing on because that's where I live, you know, because it is a requirement, every school already has a comprehensive program. And they tend to almost be blinded by that, because they assume that I want them to get rid of what they already have and replace it with what I have. And that's not my goal at all. My goal is to supplement their materials with what I have, because it offers something a little bit different than what their comprehensive programs have. It goes deeper into some subjects. So that's one thing. And the other thing is, and this is for schools and also for parents, is that they see it as kind of almost like an extracurricular activity. It's not math. It's not science. It's not reading. So if there is time, let's do it. You know, that type of thing. You know, not all parents are like that. Others really see the value and the importance, but it's like, you know, it's an extra thing. And I get it. Parents are busy. Kids are busy. So finding time to really focus on this particular topic, particularly, you know, buying my book and using it with their kids or encouraging their kids to use it, that is an extra thing they have to do. But on the other hand, there are many families who totally embrace it. Their kids love it. Their parents encourage them to use it and their kids embrace it. There are many parents who use my curriculum, my books with their kids. But it's really getting parents to understand that, yes, this is a book. It's reading and writing. It's not running around. It's not jumping. It's not technology. But and their kids may not initially want to do it. because, you know, it's reading, it's writing, you know. But again, modeling for your kids and helping them see the value of it and not assuming that they're not going to like it because it's reading, it's writing, you know.
Modeling again.
Yes.
Right. So how can adults help children and young adults discover their superpowers and their own power?
It's mindset. It's thinking about it. You know, I have given workshops to mostly kids. I mostly work with kids, but occasionally I do presentations to adults and teens. And one of my favorite activities is to ask them to write down, you know, 10, 20, 50 positive things about themselves. And I am always amazed as to how difficult that is for people, particularly adults. It's not as difficult for an 8-year-old. It's not as difficult for a 12-year-old. But once you are in the teen years and become young adults and become adults, for many, it's very difficult. And because we teach our kids not to brag. And, you know, bragging is considered a bad thing. And bragging, you know, it is a bad thing, you know, because if you define bragging, it's, you know, really pumping up yourself in an effort to make yourself look better or to make someone else look worse. But when you are able to acknowledge that that you have good qualities and you're able to, in appropriate situations, you know, talk about those things and share those things, that is a good thing. So that's embracing, you know, you're awesome and embracing and acknowledging that you have these superpowers. I call myself a social emotional learning innovator. Also, I'm an author and an illustrator. And I'm not afraid to say I'm good at what I do. And if somebody wants to, you know, see that as bragging, that's on them. But what I'm doing is simply acknowledging that this is something that I've worked on. This is a skill that I now have. And I want people to know that I have it because I want to share it. I want kids to learn from me. And I just want to contribute to the community.
So why is that important to teach the self-awareness and social awareness?
Self-awareness is all about, again, understanding your strengths and your weaknesses. It's also about being in touch with your feelings. So when you understand your strengths and your weaknesses, and you understand why you feel certain ways and what leads you to feel those ways, then you're actually a happier person, and you're more likely to seek help, not only to contribute to the community, but also seek help for yourself. If you, let's say I'm feeling sad, I'm feeling depressed, and I understand that, I'm more likely to say, if I'm a kid, to my parent, I'm feeling this way because, or I'm feeling this way, I'm not sure why. Saying a teacher, I'm feeling this way. And that leads to counseling. It leads to maybe going to the doctor. It leads to intervention at school, talking to the principal. It leads to help. And it leads to ultimately, the person, the child or the adult, improved mental wellness. So that's why, you know, encouraging to talk about feelings, you know, writing down, journaling is a great way to get that out, leads to improved mental wellness, among other things.
So how can we encourage students to value their individuality and respect the difference of others or in others?
Noticing what they do, you know, we love as parents and as teachers to tell our kids, our students, that they are awesome. Oh, you're wonderful, you're great, you're good. That's fine. But what's more effective and more impactful, two things are more effective and more impactful. Tell them why. You know, yes, you are awesome because you got an A on this test, but you're also awesome if you got a C, but you did your best. So you're wonderful. You know, I love that you put this effort into it. It's wonderful that you work so hard. And so just telling them not only that they are awesome, but why they are awesome. And the other thing is helping kids figure that out on their own. So that's what my guided journals are about. It gives kids, you know, prompts and information to help them figure out why they are awesome on their own. So when kids have this mindset, you know, that they are great, that they're awesome, that they can do it. And, you know, that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. And that leads to internal change, but also leads to a change on their outlook on the world, on the community, and on others.
You mentioned journaling, and can you share some of your favorite prompts in terms of journaling to kind of get kids going, and maybe a little bit more about the benefits of journaling?
Going back to something I mentioned earlier is list 5 things that you like about yourself. List 5 of your achievements. List 5 of the things that you enjoy doing with your family. You know, just prompts that cause kids to think positively about themselves. And also prompts that encourage kids to think about some of the things that they may have done wrong, that they may want to improve on. In Why It's Different Awesome, there are prompts about bullying and about being mean. And one of them is, you know, write about a time when you were not so nice to somebody. You know, why did you do what you did? How do you think it made the other person feel? And now that you look back on it, how does it make you feel that you behaved in a certain way? Prompts that encourage kids to think about the community. Is there a problem in the community that you want to solve? You know, what are some ideas as to how you can help that, you know, that problem? Yeah, so prompts like that, you know, to think about themselves, to think about others, to think about the community. One other is to think about failure. And not in Why It's Different Awesome. This is in another one of my journals. There's a page called, you know, What If I Fail? And one thing that we need to teach our kids is that failing happens. And what can you learn from failing? It's not at the end of the world. You know, sometimes there are, you know, actually pretty serious consequences for not doing certain things. But at the end of the day, what can you learn? And I talk to my son about this all the time. No, you didn't get an A. No, you didn't get a C. You actually got a D on this. And so what can you learn from this? How can you, you know, how can you take steps so that the outcome next time will be different?
And I think it's really helpful, kind of back to some of your initial prompts of list, you know, 5 things you love about yourself, and then maybe taking some of those lists a step further as a caregiver or someone close to that child and saying, you know, why do you love this about you? So that you're really starting to hear what they think and why they develop to that point. And I like how you said, you know, failing happens, and having the conversation of why do you think that happened? What could we do next time? And really, as you do, you're starting young with students, right? And we're starting young with our children. And that's when, you know, mistakes we can recover from, and building that why and that problem solving young, so that when students get older, when children grow and they make a mistake, they hopefully have developed this strong sense of self and problem solving. And so that they can then recover and maybe not make as big as mistakes. And I'm not talking about grades, but I'm talking about just in social and life, and life and choices that we make, and understanding, you know, consequences can be good, they can be bad, and understanding the why behind that is incredibly valuable for our kiddos.
Yes, I absolutely agree with all of that. Absolutely agree. And another kind of journaling type activity that I would recommend, and I've used this with youth groups, I was a speaker, a presenter at mother and daughter events, but is when you have 2 kids who know each other, or a parent and a child tell each other what their superpowers are. And the first time I did this was for a school in Aurora, Nicholson Elementary. I was asked to participate in a mother-daughter event, a mother-daughter tea, for I believe it was 3rd grade. And at my station, I had kids do, and kids, the daughters and their mothers do that very thing, you know, have the daughters tell the mothers what their superpowers, what the mother's superpowers are. And, you know, the daughters said things like, you take care of our family, that's your superpower. you know, you help us when we're sick, you make the best dinners and things like that. And it was so, and I did not anticipate this the first time I did it, but it was extremely emotional, particularly for the mothers. And I mean, there are some mothers literally, you know, there were tears. And so, you know, as parents, we don't, sometimes we feel this is such a thankless job, you know, there's always just so much. And, you know, I'm not a good mom. I'm not a good dad. You know, this was a big fail here. I got my kid late to practice, whatever. We think about all, you know, a lot of negative stuff. And the reality is, yeah, you know, we're not perfect. But, you know, our kids appreciate us. And maybe they don't always, you know, on a regular basis say it. But, you know, they do. They do appreciate us. And, you know, having the opportunity, given the opportunity for them to sit down with each other and just say it is really emotional. And when the moms, you know, say to their kids, you know, certain things about their superpowers, you know, these big goofy smiles on the kids' faces. It was such an empowering experience. And yeah, I was so glad to witness it, you know?
Yeah, I bet. And just the honor to give that grace and that space for a parent and a kid to have that conversation, because it's so often that we're zipping around, whether it's work or activities or school mm-hmm. or making dinner. And we don't always provide that safe space to honor that conversation and to not be distracted by everything that goes on in our daily life. So I can imagine how both the parent and the child felt after that mm-hmm. conversation and how it probably changed their relationship in a way that's for the positive.
I agree.
I love that.
And, you know, I'm all about self-reflection and a really, when you focus on, you know, yourself in a not selfish way, and you really, you know, introspection, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of things, positive things can come out of that. And one of the positive things is that you think you're more sensitive to others. So when you're sensitive to yourself, it's natural that you become more sensitive to others. So that's why I think journaling is so important, because journaling is all about self-reflection.
It is. And, you know, and I've seen somewhere in terms of not everybody loves to write. Just they feel like they get caught up or judgment, or there's so many reasons I've heard. But you can also do an audio journaling, right? So if you have a phone or you just, you know, that way you're just putting those thoughts into the universe and mm-hmm. really being able to hear them that way and take that time to process, I think is a really special gift to yourself to really kind of keep that theme of inclusivity and reflection and honoring yourself and the folks that are around you.
I agree. And in my guided journals, they are guided journals as opposed to, you know, more traditional journals that have just blank pages. And the reason I chose to write a series of guided journals was because I wanted to give kids who have different interests, you know, an opportunity for this self-reflection. So in my guided journals, yes, there's writing. There are several writing prompts. Some of the writing prompts require maybe like a full page writing, but some require a couple sentences. Some require a word. Some require making lists. There's also in each of my guided journals, there's a coloring page, because as we know, coloring can actually be a way of, it definitely helps relieve stress, but it's also a way of journaling in a way, you know. There's also pages for drawing. Art is a way of journaling. There's also reading, you know, there's a poem, short stories, interview. There's all kinds of ways for kids to really self-reflect. And so, yeah, I get it. Not every kid likes to write. Not every kid likes to read. Not every kid likes to draw. So there's some of that in my journals, something for every child.
To bring it back to schools, how can schools and society, how can we build more inclusive community where everyone is valued and respected?
Well, teaching kids about, you know, facts, different cultures, different abilities, and things along those lines, different experiences, different religions, different, you know, just differences. You know, when I first introduced my curriculum and my guided journals, my first guided journal is called What's Your Superpower? And all of my guided journals, there are images of kids of different skin tones, different hair colors, different hairstyles, glasses, hearing aids. Some of kids in wheelchairs are using crutches. So there's all, the illustrations reflect the world in which we live. When I first introduced them, I had a few people say to me, oh my gosh, these belong in schools in Chicago. You know, they really focused on schools that had, where they had a very diverse population. And fine, you know, yeah, they can go to Chicago. I want them to go everywhere. But, you know, it's more important for them to go to be introduced in schools where the population is not diverse, where it may be primarily white or primarily Black or primarily Hispanic or whatever it is. That's more important because in those areas, in those communities, whether it's in the school or the community in which the school is located, those communities tend to see less diversity and they tend to just not be exposed to a lot of differences, and their opinions of others who are different from them, you know, may be skewed, may be off, may be inaccurate. So getting back to your question, just making sure that embedding throughout a curriculum, throughout a not just an SEL curriculum, whether it's math, English, whatever, you know, these different themes of acceptance and respect and diversity.
As a special education teacher and sitting at many IEP meetings, just both as a parent and also as a professional, I tend to hear schools, not often, not always, but there are times where you hear a lot of focus on student deficit. How can we shift that focus? And as a mama of, you know, just sharing your story as well, I heard you kind of laugh there. You know, I'm sure you've sat at a table and it's hard when that mama heart is raw and we are coming from a place of fear and love. How can we shift that conversation through what you're doing to help us do a better job of focusing on students' strengths and not always just at an IEP table, this is what's wrong. This is, and back to your word, fix, we need to fix this. There right. are areas, right? We do need to develop and bridge these gaps, of course, but how can we reframe the conversation to lead with the strengths and the awesomeness that each of our kiddos have?
Reminding kids of those strengths. I am not sure. Okay, so with my IEP meetings with my son, they always started off with talking, his name is Isaiah, you know, what Isaiah did well. Isaiah was great at this, and, you know, they always made a point to do that.
I love that.
I'm not sure that same attitude carried over into the classroom or when mom wasn't around, you know? Mm-hmm. It's almost as if they had a handbook on how to conduct an IEP meeting. Start off with saying something positive, you know? And so they generally always did that. But when you, again, when you have to pull kids out to a meet with them separately and work on whatever skills, that same messaging about, okay, so you're really great, Isaiah, you're really great at, he's really good at art. You're really great at art. You know what? So I know you have the ability to work just as hard in this class. So, and math was one of his least favorite topic, you know, subjects. Let's work on that today. Or, you know, there's just ways to, if you identify the kid's strengths and you work on helping the kids understand that, you know, where their strengths lie, you know, celebrate those things and say, you know what, I know you can do this, you can work hard at this, because look at all these different accomplishments. So lead with the strengths and help them understand that, no, we're not all great at everything, but you have the ability to work hard and achieve in this area as well, because you've shown that, you know, you got A's, B's, C's here, you got this trophy, you got this award, you helped, you're kind, you know, to this kid, you were able to say hi to that kid, you know. So yeah, kind of keep an inventory of achievements. Celebrate wins. At the beginning of every month, I post on social media, I'm on Facebook and I'm on LinkedIn, my wins from the previous month. Always four. Four is my favorite number. So, you know, four wins from last month. And I do that because, you know, as we go through our days, our weeks, our months, you know, things don't always go well. You know, we don't always reach our goals. We run into roadblocks and we tend to focus on those things. I always want to take a moment and remind myself, whether it was a big win or a small win, that, you know what, last month was a good month for these reasons. I encourage kids, I encourage adults to celebrate your wins. And that is what, you know, teachers should emphasize. You know, make it a big deal. Maybe at the end of every month or the week or whatever, you know, have a place, you know, have a box for each kid to write down, you know, something that they achieved that week, that month or whatever, and make a big deal, read it out loud. And I don't know, have something that to make it a big deal and remind them, it doesn't matter, you know, how small it is, it's still a win.
That's right. You know, and I ask my boys, I have three boys. I ask them often, you know, what made you smile today?
Yes.
Right. So talking about like the small wins, because sometimes, you know, they come home from school or pick them up from school or whatever. And, you know, they are deflated for some reason, but what made you smile? And it's now become something that they think about, because you're right, the little wins add up and they build that confidence. And so not every day is 100% terrible. You know, obviously there's tragic events and stuff, but just, right. You know, on, if we're talking about a daily basis, what is one thing that happened that made you smile? And it may be they had chicken nuggets for lunch. You know, I mean, you know what, it may just be that
the little things in life,
the little things, right? Somebody held a door open for me or something. And so I think that's really key. So as we're kind of winding down here, can you share a story about a student who benefited from your program? I love a good story.
Well, I have a couple of favorite stories, but I will talk about this one. So this was in 2020, you know, during the kind of the height of the pandemic beginning, and everything was remote. And a youth group, a girls group asked me to do a workshop via Zoom. And so there may have been about, you know, six or eight girls. And I did the activity that I described to you earlier about, you know, asking the girls to say positive things about each other. And so there was this one girl, I believe she was in early teens, maybe 13 or maybe 12. And she was just so put together. You know, she had perfect makeup, way better than what I can do. It looked like she just, you know, left the beauty salon. Her hair was perfect. I mean, you know, she was definitely very well put together, as some might say. So she participated a little, you know, she was a little bit more on the quiet side. But at the end of the event, of the workshop, I asked, you know, for some feedback. And what she said really struck me and has stayed with me is that, well, what I learned today was that I'm not boring. And that was just like, I would, you know, I was like, wow. When you look at her, yeah. And this is again why you can't go by appearances, you just can't, is that, you know, she looked like so together. And so, you know, I assumed, you know, that she was super confident and, you know, that she may have been the most popular, you know, you assume, you know, I assume some of those things, but clearly, you know, this girl, you know, struggled with some confidence, and just by having conversations with other girls in this group and the leaders, you know, she was like, she realized that, you know what, I'm not boring. I, you know, and so that just was so telling. And that's what my programs do. If a student can come to start thinking a little bit more positively about themselves after a 1 hour Zoom, you know, where we did one activity, you know, and had short conversations, imagine what could happen if over a, my curriculum is, they're deranged from 12 weeks to 20 weeks. Imagine what can be done over weeks, you know, with this self-reflecting, talking to each other, talking about various topics. Imagine what could happen over an extended period of time.
And how that little shift in her mind is going to change the trajectory.
And right? May I tell one more short story? Well, a school in my area, in the Naperville School District, Scott Elementary, they have used my program, my curriculum, my four curriculums for the past couple of years. And I receive feedback forms from students. And one of the lessons in Why is Different Awesome is called Be an Upstander. And I ask the students to pick which lesson they like the most. So there are lessons on friendship, bullying, volunteering, you know, many different topics. And one lesson is on being an upstander. And by far, that's the lesson that kids said that they liked the most. And then I asked why. And what some of the kids said was basically that they had the opportunity to be an upstander. There was a situation where they had, you know, where somebody was being bullied or something happened, and they had the opportunity to be an upstander. So for some kids, you know, they stood up for the other kid. So their comment was, yeah, I like this lesson because this happened to me, and now I really understand what was going on and that it was the right thing to do. Other kids said things like, yeah, there were situations in which I really didn't know what to do, and now I do, because, you know, during the lesson, they learn different ways to be standing up for somebody. And so again, you know, kids, these were fourth graders. Kids, you know, often just want to know how to do the right thing, or they just need to be supported and realize, you know what? Yes, you did the right thing. They need to be told that, reminded that, and that will help them with decision-making in the future.
That's right. That's right. And this, having that guidance and framework to follow is amazing. So one final question, Stacey, if you could have a billboard with one tip for parents, what would it be and why?
Well, the tip would be, it would be more of a reminder. You know, you are your child's first and best teacher. You know, pay attention to what you're modeling for your kids. If you model confidence, you are more likely to raise a confident child.
I like that. I like that. That's a great final note. You're your child's first, and pay attention to what you're modeling. That's
yes.
right.
Yeah.
That's right. Do as I do, not as I say, right? The old adage. Stacey, this has been such a pleasure to chat with you and to learn more. I mean, I always know different is being awesome, but how you're in the community and helping guide and shape our young friends to be better leaders and better folks in our world. And so such a pleasure. And I really enjoyed our conversation today.
Thank you. Thank you. It was fun. And again, I really appreciate you having me on your show.
You bet. Thank you so much. Thank you again for joining us today with Stacey Montgomery, the social emotional learning innovator and author. What an amazing conversation we just had. If you have not shown us some love on social at Learning Essentials, and go ahead and like and subscribe to our podcast. I appreciate you using your earbud times to listen in and engage with us. Again, I'm your host, Wendy Taylor, special ed strategist, loving all things special ed.
Thank you for joining us today for our Special Ed Strategist podcast. To hear more pro tips and find additional IEP essentials, including our IEP webinar, please visit www.learningessentialsedu.com.